turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Anybody need a worksheet? Didn't get a worksheet? Raise your hands up there. Raise your hand. Got a few down front here. All right. Raise your hand. Keep it up until you get one. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. Working our way through this book, get there eventually. First three chapters, of course, tell us about what we are. It's doctrinal. It's who we are, our relationship, our calling with God. Then the second three chapters, 4, 5, and 6, more practical, telling us how we are to live as His elect, as His called out assembly. And so he's talking about the church. Of course, when he's talking to Ephesians, he's talking about folks who are from all over. Did he miss you? Hold on a second here. You got one more down front here. There we go. All right. Thank you, Oscar. All right. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse number 11. Ephesians 4:11 says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together, and the compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, and the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Let's pray. We're talking about walk the walk of Christ. Walk the walk of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for the instruction it gives us. Thank you that you allow us to be the body of Christ. You allow us to be the ones who have that ministry of reconciliation. That you allow us to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, to be able to bring glory to you. Lord, it's amazing if you think about it. Just allow these little shovels of dirt, these little human mortal souls that you would give us the opportunity to represent you to all the world. Now, Lord, help us to take this calling and walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we've been called. Now, Lord, I pray that you bless us here this evening. Help us to take the word of God and let it be a mirror again and show us, teach us, use us, that we may bring greater glory to you, and so that your church may be built, fitly joined together, an efficient machinery, if you will, but yet an efficient and working body to do your work. Lord, we need you. We need your Holy Spirit. Speak to us here this evening. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the church is made of those who have trusted the death of Jesus as full payment for their sins and are thus saved, have confessed their salvation through baptism. That's what the church is made of. Now, we are to walk worthy of the vocation, the job, the calling, if you will, walk worthy of the vocation to which we have been called to bring, that is, to bring glory to God so that others will believe. Our job is that others see Christ through us. Now, to do so would mean that we would have to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. They can't see Christ if Christ isn't being seen. And if we're being seen more than Christ, then Christ is not going to be being seen. So we need to allow the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit, which would then cause the Holy Spirit to be evidenced through us, through the fruit of the Spirit. And if the Spirit of God dwells in us, then of course, then we are not only the church, but we are the body of Christ. He says, greater work shall he do because he goes to the Father, and he will send the Comforter to be our Holy Spirit, to indwell us, so we become the body of Christ. Now, as worthy members of the body of Christ, if indeed we're worthy members, we're supposed to be walking worthy of the vocation, as worthy members of the body of Christ, we should be, we've learned it, lowly in heart, meek in our demeanor, not mousy. In fact, meekness actually can bring boldness because we realize that it's not us, it's him working through us. To be bold without meekness is pride. Follow me? To be bold without the meekness, knowing who we are before God, is actually pride because I can handle this. But the fact is, when I come and realize, listen, my daddy's bigger than anybody else's daddy in the whole world. That's in other words, you've got the same daddy I've got. All right. So our daddy is bigger than the world's daddy. I don't have to be meek because I know who I'm with. On the other hand, I'm with him. It's not that I'm trying to get him with me. I can be bold because I know who my daddy is. So we should be able to be like Christ. Also, we learned it here, forbearing, willing to forbear one another in love. We learned in verse 4 back in there that there's one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. That's all that is the same. We are all the same. We all have access to the same Holy Spirit. We all have the same Father. We all have the same calling, though we may not all do the same thing in the midst of the calling. This whole church has the same calling, to give the glory of God, to see folks saved. That's the calling. Now, in the meantime, we're supposed to be growing in Christ so that we can do that job better. But we all have the same calling. But the fact is, some people, let's just take the orchestra and the choir. Some play the trumpet, some play the clarinet, the flute, violin, viola, keyboards, strings, whatever it may be, you know, the percussion. Some people sing the soprano, some sing alto, some sing tenor, some sing bass. We can't all sing the same thing. We won't have the program. But you put it all together, and what you have is a combination that's greater than the individuals. Same thing goes with the church. We've got teachers. We've got helpers. We've got bus drivers. We've got runners on the buses. We've got folks who teach on Wednesday. We've got folks who teach on Sunday night. We have folks who clean the church. We have folks who are deacons. We've got folks who are, listen, we've got folks who are doing all kinds of things. It takes all of us. We're the body of Christ. We have the same calling, but not necessarily the same job. But we have the same calling. We're one. We are one body, have the same source of life. Yet we are different parts of the same body, and just as all our body parts came from one cell, our physical body parts came from one cell. Think about that little baby we just got. Of course, I guess granddad talking, but it came from one cell, and then that cell divided, and then that cell divided, and those cells divided. But they all the cells kind of knew what to do because all the cells are not eyeballs. Some of them became legs and ears and noses and. You know, I mean, it's a wonderful thing. In fact, one of the first things, remember, we've had, well, I forget which one of our babies, they were born, and the doctor took them and said, okay, they got all their parts. But you know what? It's awful nice when they have all their parts. I got to preaching this morning, got a little bit lively, and apparently Juliet kind of, you know, jerked a little bit when I got a little loud. Well, good, her ears work. That's a good thing. You want them to have all the parts. We want our church to have all the parts. We had a fella that was coming to church. They moved here, but the fella had one ear that never developed. It was kind of pinched off. And he was able to live life without it. That's good. That's fine. We should be able to. But you know, in fact, doing this just sounds different. It's weird. I can hear, but it's not the same. We shouldn't have to live without some of our body parts. And the church shouldn't have to live without some of its parts. I've been amazed how God has sent us people. It seems like just the right time. Or developed them. Coming up, they came up to a certain level at just the right time. So we have all come from one cell. We all have the same source of life. We all come from Christ. We're all part of the body of Christ, but we're a vast variety of parts. And so the body of Christ comes from one life source, and yet through the miracle-working grace of God, we become a vast array of body parts to make the body of Christ work efficiently. In verse 11, we found out that he gave some apostles. From last week, we had some apostles. That's the ones who were given the word of God. They saw the risen Christ. They were going to give us truth. They had some special abilities, even miraculous abilities, to heal, to raise folks from the dead. They had abilities. Why? Because God wanted to stamp their approval on them that they had come from Christ. They're apostles. We had prophets. We had prophets in the Old Testament. We had some prophets in the New Testament. And they wrote the book of Revelation. They wrote some other reports that Paul did in Timothy, talking about what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen in the last days. And so we have some prophets. But then the word of God has been settled. The canon is finished. And so then he's also given us some gifts of evangelists. Now in the Bible, we talked about Philip, some others who were out, who were you know, very much able to go out and preach and win folks to Christ. We have folks these days that have the gift of evangelism. They do know how to get folks saved. They have a special gift upon them. But by the way, just because you don't have the gift of evangelism doesn't say you shouldn't go win folks to Christ. God has given us the calling for all of us. It's all our job to lead somebody to Christ, to be able to do that. Now, some are better at it. Some have a better gift of it than others. But the fact is, we ought to all be able to win somebody to Christ. And then he's also given us the gift of pastors and teachers. Pastors and teachers, the shepherds and instructors. That's what we're trying to do right now. Because listen, he said, go, you know, the world, preach the gospel to every creature, evangelist. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. He said, teach them all things. That's what we're trying to do. We are now alive in Christ. We are the body of Christ, but we are to do some bodybuilding. We talked about that last week. Some bodybuilding. We're not just a body, but are we prepared to do what we need to do? Right now, Julie, all she does is eat and sleep. You got to feed her. Can't do any of it. As a brand new Christian, sometimes that's really where we are. We might think we know what we're doing, but we don't know much. But you keep growing. You keep feeding. You keep caring for our folks. And little by little, they begin to grow. And we should be like a little kid, you know, a little kid who's two wants to be five. And a kid who's going to be five wants to be six to go to school. A kid who's six wants to be eight. Eight wants to be 12. A 12-year-old wants to be 16. A 16-year-old wants to be 18. 18-year-old wants to be 21. 21 wants to be 25. 30 wants to be 25. But there ought to be a time in our life to say, you know, I'm not satisfied just being a child in Christ. I need to grow. Now, this is what he's asking us to do. We're supposed to be helping one another grow in Christ, to build up, to edify the body. The gifts are for refinishing. These gifts of these people, they're for refining, they're for strengthening the body, they're for building up the body. They're gifts given to do what it takes to get us as far as we can in our life as a Christian, as part of the body of Christ. In verse 13, it talks about how he wants us to be one, unified in faith in what we believe, one in knowledge, what we know. And he wants all of our body part to have developed fully. If one of our body parts has not developed fully along with the rest of the body, it's going to cause issues. And things become out of balance. And the work of the body becomes difficult. Let me give you number one. Walk straight. Walk straight. Let's walk through this real quick together. Walk straight. Verse 14 tells us that we're going to have all these gifts. We're going to do the work of the body. The work of the evangelists and the apostles and the prophets and the pastors and teachers. Why? that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive you. Listen, if God can't stop you from getting saved, He wants to stop you from growing up. You've got to remember, listen, this is not play. There's a spiritual warfare that goes on. If He can't stop you from getting saved, He's going to do everything He can to stop you from growing up. I know folks after folks after folks after folks who got saved as a kid. I don't know what the circumstance was, whether the fact that they moved away from a church or mom and dad didn't take them, or they just kind of turned everything off and they didn't want to listen. Whatever it was, they grew very little because they didn't get fed. They were malnourished. There was anemic in their Christian walk. Somehow, I've seen it over and over and over. You come to somebody and said, let me ask you a question. If you die, you know for sure that you would go to heaven. And I said, well, I think so. And I'd say, all right, just like I always do, if you knocked on the door of heaven and they ask you why they should let you in the door of heaven, what would you tell them? Jesus died and paid for all my sins. I have no other hope to get in there. And you're thinking, how can they know? And the thing is, their eyes will light up. I can't tell you, we were talking about Vacation Bible School. I can't tell you bunches of people who have said, I got saved in Vacation Bible School. And it's like all of a sudden the lights go back on and they go back to being 8 years old again and they remember what it meant when they trusted Christ as their Savior. And yet, even though they're part of the church, part of the body of Christ, they're underdeveloped. Whatever the reason might have been, they never became what their potential was. They did not grow. So he says here that henceforth, starting now. Now, I don't know where you've been, how long it was when you were born again. Starting right now, he says, for henceforth, be no more children. That means an infant. It means non-speaking, not knowing how to answer. It means simple-minded. You and I, listen, you've seen people do that. They'll come up to a little kid and all of a sudden, you know, they'll do, I don't even know how to do that. How do you do that where it makes you look like you're taking your finger off, you know, or whatever it is, you know, and all this. I don't know. I never know how to do that. Well, I used to be able to do this. Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can do that. But and I said, no, look at it. And I think, well, you took his finger off. Well, I know that can't be. And you got him going by the sleight of hand. Cunning craftiness. Now, some of us has actually gotten, now some of us may still be able to be fooled, but most of us have grown up enough that we realize, okay, I've been there, I've heard about this, I know what's going on, you can't fool me. We need to be the same way in our spiritual walk with God, because the world's out there telling you, oh, I don't believe that. Oh, that's silly. Don't do that. Don't do that. Here's what truth is. And we're walking around like children. Being tossed about, he says, like children, tossed to and fro. That means to surge and recede, just like the ocean, to fluctuate. You know what that means? We're riding life. Wherever it goes, we're riding along. And you know what I found a lot of times? People who are like that also ride their emotions. Things get tough, they're on top side. Things get tough, they're on the bottom. They're lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. I mean, it's just way down. They ride it. Get whiplash. He says, listen, I don't want them, he said, from now on, I don't want you to be children who are tossed to and fro, watch, carried about with every wind of doctrine, pushed around. I remember as a kid, there was a couple of times when the blizzard would come through and we had this one spot where the wind just blew the snow way up on a snowbank, and we went down the snowbank, and then there was actually a bank in the ground there. We would just go, and it wasn't that the snow had stopped, but the wind was blowing, and I wanted to go out and play, And so, you know how it is. You get them all dressed up, and they're out there for 5 minutes, and then they're cold, and we come back in. But I wanted to go out and play, so she got me all dressed up. And you get out there, and I'm in the snow, and so it's okay while my feet was in the snow because I really couldn't go too far because it was coming up here, you know. And all of a sudden, I got up where it had pulled all the snow out of this bottom and pushed it over here. So you get to this part where there's hardly any snow in the ground at all. And I get out there, and the wind blew and swept me right off my feet. I mean, I was just a little guy, and whoosh, couldn't handle it. I'm a child. He says, I don't want you like a child anymore, where you can't handle life. Every time it blows, you're someplace else. This happens, boom, swept right off her feet. He says that we henceforth, starting now, that we're no longer going to be these little infants who are simple-minded, buying everything, don't even know how to answer anybody. They're tossed about like they're riding on the ocean and getting seasick. The wind is blowing about on every wind of doctrine. Every thought that comes along comes blowing by. Well, maybe that's true. Have you ever seen, folks, every time some new guy gets on TV, some new preacher, oh, maybe that's right. Wait. Maybe this is truth. Because they do not know the Word of God. He says, by the slight, the fraud, the tossing of the dice of men. That's really what it means, the tossing of the dice. You know what? The world's out here, they don't know either. Do you know sometimes eggs are good for you and sometimes they're bad for you? And then they're good for you. Then they're bad for you. Coffee's awful. Then it's good for you. It's got antioxidants in it. But it's got this. And then it's got that. And the world comes blowing through. Did you see the article in the newspaper the other day? Where was it? It was just a couple days ago. And it was talking about the mastodon that they found years ago in Wisconsin. Anybody see that? And they found it back in the 1800s. And these boys were, a big flood came through and a bunch of water came through and exposed these bones. And they found these bones of a mastodon. And maybe they are, maybe they're not, I don't know. They don't know if it was a mammoth or a mastodon or whatever it is. But they were some big bones. And so they paid these boys, this was back in the 1800s, $50. And be honest with you, $50 then was almost $1,000 now. And it was a lot of money. And so they put these bones together, and they thought, well, it wasn't really the whole thing. They would love to be able to have a whole thing to kind of set up in their museum out there. And then they heard about some people at some place called Anderson Mill. And so they found some more bones. It was about 30 miles away. And so they took those bones, and they put them with the other bones. Now, some lady just recently had looked and found out that the bones of the pictures that they took of the bones in Anderson Mill, had this crack in this femur, and then they found out they put it with this one, and they've kind of plastered together some other things, and they made this mastodon, supposedly came from the original place, but wait a minute, it's got the same crack, this one over here in Anderson, so that must be the one over here, and you found out this guy said he wanted to have enough bones to put one together. And so people have just kind of said, well, you know, it's close enough, and they put this thing all together. This has been, and this has since been 1915. It's 100 years, really about 4 to 5 generations. Every 20 years, you about start having new babies again. And there we go, 4 to 5 generations. Think that's the main thing, and it's not the real thing. It's a few bones they found. And off we go because we think we know it all. Cunning, craftiness, trickery, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They're watching and waiting for the opportunity to delude you. See, is that really true? If it's not on purpose on their behalf, it's on purpose on Satan's behalf. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. They want us to, listen, lack of faith. They want us to say, well, it can't be true. That's not true. And we just sit there and become little children because we never grow because we're not willing to swallow the truth and be nourished. Letter B, it says, we can be saved, watch me, and never grow up. We can be saved and never grow up. We can be indwelt, letter C, we can be indwelt with the Spirit of God and have access to all that God is and yet never grow up to be a mature Christian. He says, from henceforth, I don't want you to be children anymore. You know what that means? That implies there's a bunch of folks who are still children. There's a bunch of folks who are still children. In fact, if we're not careful, Christians can be, and this is not derogatory, it's just the way it is, can be like teenagers. Teenagers have enough information to get themselves in trouble. And the fact is, here's the thing, and listen, we've all been there, teenagers. I'm not giving you a hard time. I was a teenager. I know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we don't know that we don't know. We don't know how much we don't know. You've seen teenage boys. You get a bunch of them out together. Oh, my soul. Get a bunch of them out together. Next thing you hear is, watch this. Next thing you hear after that is, here comes the, whoop, whoop, you know, here comes the ambulance. They think they got it all under control. We can have the Spirit of God. We're saved. Are teenagers alive? Yeah, they're alive. Do they have a mind? Yes, they have a mind. But not all the information has been downloaded yet. Same thing goes with us as Christians. Hebrews 5:12 says this, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." He says we've got to have our senses exercised. I remember my mom at one time making sure that I knew what the gas that you used for the stove smelled like. If you smell that, you get out of there, you call me, you call somebody because there's a problem. Teaching me that there's, listen, you, if you smell that smell, we're in trouble. Open the windows, get out of there. We ought to have our senses. We ought to have our antenna up. We shouldn't be able to be tossed about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of hand and cunning craftiness. We shouldn't. Letter D. Just because we think we know doesn't mean we know. Just because we think we know doesn't mean we know. Let me read this to you. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity," that's love, "out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned." I mean, real stuff, sincere, not insincere. "From which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm." Point is this, just because somebody stands up there and has decided that they're an expert doesn't mean they're an expert. Dad and I have laughed about this so many times. We say, do you know what expert is? Somebody comes from more than 50 miles and carries a briefcase. Walks around, sounds important, and has a briefcase. I go to churches several times a year, and I'll go for a few days, and I'll do a music seminar. And usually, the pastor has seen me at the National Sword Conference or something, do the music or do the seminar, and that's fine, that's dandy, and I have a little bit I can share with them. But they're all impressed because I walk in the suit and the tie, and I came from more than 50 miles and carry a briefcase. I mean, they think I'm really some hot shot. And you know who I am. You know I'm not a hot shot. So, you know, but they think I am because there I am. There I am. Looks for. We got to be careful. We got to be careful. It says there's folks there who want to be teachers who aren't. In fact, those that want to be the one up front and have everyone listen to them, a lot of times most likely not ready. What we need to do is yield ourselves. Surrender ourselves and be surprised how God will put us in the right place at the right time. James 3:1 says, "My brethren, be not many masters." He says, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. And any man offend, if any man offend not in word, the same is perfect man, and also, am able also to bridle the whole body. By the way, your pastor is not a perfect man, so he has probably offended somebody with his mouth. And I'm sorry. We're the, you know, out of the multitude of words, there one doth not sin. But I'm part of the body of Christ, and you're part of the body of Christ. And we're here to edify one another. God wants mature adults working for him. He has some child labor laws. Verse 14 there, he tells us, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He says, listen, children can be talked into anything. Children are too trusting. Children easily deceived, and Satan and his helpers are quick to take advantage of their ignorance. Children can be pushed around, tossed about with every wind of doctrine. And we wouldn't want kids running our business. And you might want to say, take them to work day. That's okay. Why? Because you're teaching them how to run the business. But you don't want kids running our business. But we think God should be just fine with children running his business. Do we simply move with the wind? Do we make our decisions based on the flow of the current right now? Or do we follow the well-defined truths of God's word? Listen, there are Christians. Try to see which way the wind's blowing. That must be truth this year. That's the thing this year. That's the key to win all the world. I'm not trying to be mean here, but watch me. Some movie's not going to be the key that's going to win all the world to Christ. I'm not saying God can't use it. Listen, I remember, do you remember the old Left Behind series? Yeah. I'll be honest with you. One of the reasons I got saved because I thought I was left behind. I'll tell you that. Some of you have never heard that before. I'll tell you that one of these days. And God used it. But it wasn't the movie that saved me. It was a movie that scared me. Didn't save me. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of God, given in the power of the Spirit, is what saves. You've got to have that. Number two, we're supposed to walk straight. We're supposed to walk in love. Walk in love. Verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, we need to teach the children by speaking the truth in love. When I say children, I'm talking about all of us. If you're saved and have had a little bit of growth, just a little bit of growth, very little growth, we're still kids. And he says, we are supposed to be teaching the truth in love. And let me say this, while I talked about this, which is the head, even Christ. What are we trying? Now, he's the head of the body. Everything needs to be coordinated through the head. The center. The command central. Jesus Christ is the command central. And we need to have everything. We need to speak the truth. Letter B, that word truth is interesting. It means to not conceal. Honest to goodness, you go back and look it up. To not conceal. It means the whole unvarnished truth. We need to speak the truth in love. Let me say this. We've got to give it to them straight. Don't hide something. Now, I know we've got to be discreet, and I know we've got to be able to be, you know, tasteful and tactful and all those kind of things. But we've got to speak the truth. To not conceal. To conceal means you've only given them half the truth. And if we're not careful, it can be construed in such a way that it becomes actually a falsehood that they're trusting in. Because it's only half the truth. Now, listen, I know that I'm guilty sometimes of probably saying more than needs to be said. But the fact is, we need to know the real stuff. Now, we need to know it in love. again, I remember times when my mom and I, when I was young, long before I became a pastor, we'd have discussions and we'd get in religious discussions, and all of a sudden she'd say, "What are you so mad about?" I said, "I'm not mad. Honestly, I'm not mad. It's truth." You know, so I'm sure some folks, come in here, "Wonder why the pastor was so mad. Who's he mad at?" I'm not mad at anybody in here. I'm mad at old Satan. I'm mad at him, mad at sin. Not that I know all truth, but there's some things I do know, and I know that they work. If I could take those and shake them into everybody, I would, but I can't. We need to speak the truth in love. Sometimes truth hurts. Now, that doesn't give me an excuse to just hurt people, and I'm sure I have, not thinking sometimes. But we need to speak the truth. Truth hurts, and so do flu shots. Truth hurts. It's hard to swallow, and so are vegetables. Letter C, supposed to speak the truth in love. The word you're looking there is for the good of the other. For the good of the other. Now, there are some folks, and you've met them, who like to tell you the truth because they're telling you off. "Well, I'm just telling you the truth," as they rip your face off. That's not what he's saying. Speak the truth in love, agape, looking for nothing in return. Love never fails. We still continue with teaching, even when it seems to go nowhere. It's unrewarding. We keep teaching the truth, because to stop teaching the truth is to basically allow them to be children for the rest of their life. Some of you have had some important talks with your kids over the years, and some of them were very uncomfortable. Little makes you squirm a little bit. Sometimes you had to listen, but you know what? We need to get down, we need to get real, and we need to teach them, because they'll never learn it right if we don't. We've got to speak the truth in love. Love seeks not our own. It's not about being labeled a teacher and being held up in high esteem. It's about living the life. A teacher doesn't stop because teaching is not about the teacher, but about the student. We're supposed to speak the truth in love. It's not fun. It's not the thing you want to have to do. But the fact is, if you love them, you're going to do it. There's some folks in here. And I know people, I've had some people say, "Well, you apologize too much." And, you know, and the fact is, sometimes I got to tell somebody, I think, "Oh, I don't want to say this. Here goes." Now, the fact is, I want you to know, I don't want to hurt you, and I'm not trying to be the guy that knows it all, and I'm not trying to push my weight around, but if I don't tell you this, you might do something that's going to really hurt you, and I don't want you hurt. I'd rather hurt you now and get you mad at me than 2 years from now, not having been told this, you go walk right into a trap that ruins your life. I've had people come back to me who thought I was mad at them or thought I was mean, and they said, "Well, you know what? I got to this point, and you said, and I remembered what you said, and I thought, that's what he's been talking about all this time. Thank you." I don't know it all, but what I'm saying is, we need to speak. This does know it all. The desire for our children is that they grow up. The desire for God's children is that they grow up. And we need to grow in all respects. Not just physically, but also mentally as a person. And he says we need to grow up into Him in all things. As a body, we need to be becoming more fully connected to the head. Grow up into him who is Christ, who is the head. In other words, to the point where he says, don't make me have to guide you with a bit and a bridle. He says, let me guide you with mine eye. Now, there was times, and some of you have learned, you've trained your kids, and when they were little, you had to deal with what you had to do, and you have to teach them what to do, and you do it with them, and you're not yelling and not punishing, your training. Don't be surprised when your kids sin. You know, they're sinners. They're born sinners. Don't be surprised. They don't know everything that you know. Man, it bothers me to death. Some kid just does something just because they were just never taught, and then some dad smacks the kid for not knowing. Well, did you teach him? How is he supposed to know? But there's going to come a time when you've trained them, you've done it enough. You don't out-muscle them. You don't out-intimidate them. You just out-endure them. Just keep doing it with them, training and training and training. People train their dogs better than they train their kids. They spend more time training their dogs than they do their kids. But listen, there ought to come to a time, and there was, I know there's been our time, where there was times when the kids were in church and they're going to go, that's all we needed. They knew what was wrong, and I knew what was wrong, and it better stop. At that point, the head of the household, they have grown up in my household long enough in him that they understand what the head is thinking. He's our head. We ought to be able to understand what he's thinking. Grow up into him in all things. We ought to have some good hand-eye coordination. I can't play piano. I'm not very good at this. I can sing all the parts. But for somehow, I can't get to the music to hear the end of my fingers. But I can do a little bit. But the fact is, if God's our head, he should have good, complete control of what happens out here at the end of our fingers. Out here in the end of our bodies. We're part of his body. We're one part of his body. And it should be lined up with him. Greater coordination between the head and the hands, the rest of the body. Christ and us, his body. Number three, we need to walk together. We need to walk straight. We need to walk in love. We need to walk together. Walk together. Verse 16 says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. A close union. And compacted. That means driven together, kind of nailed together. He says, from the whole body, fitly pushed together by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That word joint is interesting. It kind of gives, it means a contribution that each of us bring to the body as we're attached to it. That word joint kind of means ligament. It's not just the joint, but it's the ligament that holds the joint together. And he says all these joints, all these ligaments are all part of the body, and they're all supposed to be doing their job so that we can do what we need to do. I don't want to gross you out here, but there was a girl years ago in high school, and she had done something in gym class, and she was going to do the horse thing, in gymnastics. And she did something, and she came around, and she hit her leg and basically snapped the muscles and the ligament on this side of the leg, and the leg went sideways. I mean, and she got, they put it back in, but there's nothing to hold it in place because they had ligaments on this side, but it wasn't anything on this side. Now, listen, we're all part of the, we all have something to offer to contribute to the body of Christ. Listen, if nothing else, we need a balance. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to be the cantankerous one to make sure everybody keeps straight. I'm not talking about that. But he said, we're driven, we're close, we're compacted, we're nailed together, we're part of it. We are helping to build all the rest of us. And each of us brings something to the table and are called to use it for the betterment of the body as a whole. Letter B, we should have a balanced body. A balanced body, fitly joined together, a matching set. You know what a matching set really means? It means it matches, but not because it's the same. You've got a cup and saucer. Ladies go out and they used to It's gotten different these days, but you know, you register at some place before you get married, and you're going to have, this is your crystal, and this is your china, and this is your flatware, and da-da-da-da-da, you know, these are your towels, and all this stuff. And so you want to get a matching set, so you've got the dinner plates, but then you've got all the cups and the saucers. Well, then you've got the bread plates, and then you've got the gravy boat, and then you've got the little butter dish. And then you've got the serving dishes, and you've got, you know, the sauce dish, and you've got the covered casserole, and you got everything, you know, it all matches, but it's all different. It all has a different job. We all supposed to be part of it. A balanced person individually, and we're supposed to be a balanced among the rest of the body of Christ. We should be balanced in ourselves and balanced in the rest of it. We are fitly joined, neatly joined together. As the body of Christ, we need to walk how and where and when as Jesus would walk if he was here physically. We're the body of Christ. Jack Hiles used to say that his prayer in the morning was, Lord, lead me to help the person that you would help if you were here today. Lead me to do what you would have done if you were here today. That's the way we need to think about it. Number four, walk away from the world. We need to walk straight. We need to walk in love. We need to walk together. We need to walk away from the world. Verse 17 says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. You know what? It's quarter after. And I'm not going to do these justice if I start there. So I'm going to stop. And we're supposed to walk. And here we go. We're supposed to walk straight individually. Walk straight. Henceforth. Not tossed about by every wind of doctrine. You can't walk straight if you don't know what straight is. You can't walk straight if everything's blowing you around. Walk straight, walk in love. Speaking the truth in love. Walk together. We are a team. We are a team. And we need to walk the walk of Christ. We'll start there next time because we'll be here and I won't get it all in there. Listen, I appreciate you being here tonight. We're the body of Christ. God can do great things if all the body, all participates. All the body needs to participate. Don't expect everybody to have the same vision you have. Don't expect everybody else to line up all the steps the same as you do. The hand is not going to think the same as the foot. The eyes aren't going to think the same as the ears. But when we are grown up into Him who is the head, all the resources come together and the body works as it's been designed. The body of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. And Lord, I thank you for these dear folks. Lord, I thank you for what you've called us to do. What an honor and a privilege that you allow us to do what we do. And Lord, this is not a reprimand. It's an encouragement. Honest. It's meant to open up a new world to some of us. Lord, you don't want us to be children. You want us to grow up. Know where to stand, how to stand. But to be our part of the body that you've called us to do, worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our hearts. We'll give you the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books and